Welcome to Printing a Man Wisdom, episode number 12. Today, I spoke to the man who needs no introduction. Some of you know him as Juna, others as Detour Shirts, and he is one of the most well-respected Printing a Man YouTubers out there. He is a veteran in the field, having done this for way over 10 years now, and his POD business is very successful, generating hundreds of thousands in profit every year. In this video, we discussed a lot of different topics, including how Juna comes up with his very amazing phrases and puns for his t-shirt designs. We also talked about how AI ad generators have impacted the print-on-demand space and his specific workflow. We also go over what to do as a beginner if you can't get into Amazon merch, as well as why does Juna not sell on Etsy. Very good video, lots and lots of insight from Juna, and a lot of nuggets were dropped during this, so make sure to stick around till the end and check out Juna's links down below. Talk to me about Design with Detour.
Oh, nice. Getting right into it. Yeah, so Design with Detour is something that I started. And because you may have, if you've watched me before, I did this Shirtober before. And the way it came about was I've always seen these posts on Instagram with Inktober in October, right, where people draw. And they have these, every day you draw something different. There's these prompts every day and then you can draw. So I thought, can I do that for t-shirts? And so I did, I think about 2 years ago, I did in 2022, I did a Shirtober, and people loved it. Everybody, so many people did it, and I loved it as well. And so I did it again in October of 2023, and I called it Shirtober in April because I'm unoriginal and I couldn't come up with the April version. But then I did Shirtober and Shirtober in 2023 as well. And I just thought, this is so fun. Why don't I do this every single day? And I think it can really help too for people, because people have been asking me in Shirtober, like, oh, I missed it. Can you do it again next month? I'm like, sorry, it's going to do it. I'm doing Shirtober. So I felt bad that I wasn't doing it more often. And so I thought, why not? I was trying to challenge myself and like, can I do a different prompt every single day? And a lot of people in my Facebook group, you know, struggle with, what do I design? I don't know. I'm in print on demand, but I have no idea what to design. And so I'm like, sure, I'll give you a prompt every, no excuses, right? You got a prompt every single day, and I'm going to do it too. I'll show you how to do it. And I think it really helps to practice too. I think the way you get better is practicing every single day. I also wanted to challenge myself to use AI more. And so if you follow me on Design with Detour, I'm using AI a lot to make my design, just kind of force myself to learn something. So I think it's great all around. And it's tough. You don't have to do it every single day, but it's there. The prompts are there. I'm putting it on my website, and there are different prompts every single day. So you don't have to, there's no repeats. I have 66, I guess, this year. Okay. For print on
the So place. You're doing it every single day of the year for 2024.
Every single...
That is a
yes.
Big commitment. But I think it sends the right message, because one of the key things to success in this business, and I think most businesses, is consistency. And with that consistency, correct, not only do you get results, but you get better with time. You don't feel it in the moment, I think. Like from one day to the next, you might not feel like you're getting better. But if you look back, if you actually do this challenge with Juna together, and in December, you look back on your January designs, I'm pretty sure you will have improved a lot in that time frame.
Yeah.
So do you mainly use AI then to make these designs?
Yeah. So far, these last couple months, I've been using AI for the base design, and then I kind of design around it, right? So I get the graphic, I put in the prompts. I actually do kind of a four prompt thing, or I put on my site too, on my social media, these are the four things that I came up with for this topic. And I get people to vote and everything. And I kind of look at it and see, like, I pick one of those four and then start with those four and then kind of design around it. So it's fun. It's kind of a fun challenge, kind of interactive with my subscribers and followers. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, it gets a lot of responses, interactions. And it's a very unique thing in this space. I don't know of anyone who does a design every single day with their community. So, Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's great to see the results. The designs look amazing. So anyone who hasn't seen it yet,
Thanks.
you can find it on your community page, right?
Yeah, so I'm everywhere. If you go on my YouTube space, it's on my community page. I also post it on Instagram. I have Twitter as well, and I post a lot of it on my Facebook group too. So it's wherever you if you feel more comfortable, whatever social media you're using, I think you could probably find it.
And one follow-up question there. You said about you have four different designs kind of as the options. I'm guessing a lot of people might see that and think, okay, he spent 2 minutes creating four designs with DALL-E 3 or whatever, and then that's it. But I'm guessing sometimes it takes you quite a while to put those together and get some decent results,
Yeah, so
or
I'm picking the best four. So sometimes, as you know, with AI, you put in a prompt and it comes out and you're like, what is, that's not what I wanted. So I have to try a different prompt where kind of the nice thing, what I'm using right now is ChatGPT, ChatGPT 4 with DALL-E 3. And I'm using a GPT called StickerWiz. And I've been trying that out. I've tried out all the other GPTs. And this one just relates more to my style. So that's what I would suggest. Go find a GPT that relates more to your style. But yes, a lot of times in AI, you type up the prompt and, you know, something's wonky, something doesn't look right. So I try something else. And so I'm showing the top four. And usually I have maybe 10 or more results. And I'm just picking the top four. Like these, I think, could work. And the other ones don't. Like if you scroll through, if I scrolled through, you would see some really bad AI
Cool.
graphics. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear because I think
Yeah.
that tends to be the experience. You know, someone watches a YouTube video or maybe sees your images, they try it
Yeah.
themselves and then they get a lot of rubbish back and then they comment
Right.
under the videos. At least I get this a lot. I tried the
Yeah.
same thing
Yep.
and it looks rubbish. That is because
Yeah.
we've already done it like multiple times to get the better results. And it does take some patience. It's not
Yeah.
always as easy as it looks on YouTube. One thing that I find quite impressive when I see some of your results is the puns and the phrases that you come up with for the designs.
Yeah.
So, do you have any tips
Yeah.
on how to get those?
Well, it comes with experience. I think I've been looking at t-shirts for a long, long time. But some of the things that can help is, you know, do your research on the pod sites. Pod sites have so many ways that you can search for t-shirts. If you're on Amazon, you can go look. I mean, the prompt's right there, right? So what I did just recently was donkey. You could type in donkey into the search in Amazon and see all the donkey t-shirts and Redbubble and TeePublic and so on. There's also AI stuff that's out now with Kittle as the quote generator, as well as Vexels as a quote generator. You could also just type in a search for donkey pun in Google. Like you could even ask AI, speaking of AI, you could go on ChatGPT and give me 10 donkey puns, right? So there's so many ways to do it. And then I'd like to try and change it up a little bit. So if I see something that's very popular, I brainstorm and try and think of different things that, you know, may relate to that
Yeah, I tend to do that
good
as well.
call.
If I see a good idea or a pun, I also try to keep that in mind for other niches or other topics that I might be designing for, rather than always just copying what you see out there, because if it's already out there, the chances it's going to sell out are slightly lower. That I mean, there's some validation if it's getting a lot of sales and people obviously resonate with that quote or with that pun. But you know, sometimes coming up with your own ideas can be more beneficial. Now, you mentioned DALL-E 3
Absolutely.
there, and you're using that a lot at the moment.
Correct.
Well, there's also been updates recently with Ideogram, for example, which you made a video about as well. You beat me to it, by the way, this time. You made the first one last
I
time
like I
around.
kind of beat Philip this time.
Last time
He's always
around, I got
winning.
the first Ideogram video. Anyway, but because we've all got all these options with Midjourney, Ideogram's just gotten a lot better. You used to use Leonardo a lot back in the day as well. So
Correct.
what is or what are your favorite AI generators at the moment and why?
Yeah, currently I'm using ChatGPT, and it's my favorite currently. I did love Leonardo, and I've used Midjourney, and I've used Ideogram. I just think the setup that I have, there's two reasons. First, I mentioned before, I think this ChatGPT, this GPT StickerWiz, is actually coming up with designs that match my style. So it kind of has that cartoony style, kind of vector based style. It also puts it in a sticker so it has a white background. I don't have to type in, make with white background or whatever, because it's already in the GPT. The second thing that I like about ChatGPT is the way that you can write the prompts. So if I write a prompt and something's off, I don't have to rewrite that prompt. I can just type into ChatGPT, can you remove this and this? Or, kind of talk to it like a human, like almost like a human, instead of you can't really do that really well with some of the other ones right now. Like Midjourney, for example, if you type it in and you want to change something just slightly in it, change the color or change, you actually have to retype the whole prompt, right? You can't just say, "Oh, I like that, but make the shirt blue," or "I like that, but make," and you can do that in ChatGPT, which is another reason why I'm sticking with it for right now.
Yeah, it is a bit more user-friendly,
Yeah.
easier to get started with. Midjourney, like if you really know your way around Midjourney, I'm pretty sure you could have more accurate results. But
Yes.
for the print-on-demand style, DALL-E 3 gets some like really good stuff, I think. And
Yeah.
whereas it's a bit
Yeah.
harder to get that same aesthetic with Midjourney, at least
Yeah.
from my experience.
Yeah. I think Midjourney and Leonardo are really good at like photorealistic poster kind of stuff. And like you said, if you dial in the prompts, I think it can do really, really well. The reason I like ChatGPT again is I'm doing simple prompts. I'm not like dialing it in, and ChatGPT kind of writes those prompts for me on the side, right? They kind of do that detailed thing. I think Ideogram does that too, or Ideogram does that too now. When the new version is, you type something simple, and it uses AI to kind of try and understand what you really mean, and then types a longer prompt for the AI to work, right?
Magic prompt, yeah, it's called on
Magic
Instagram.
prompt, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite handy. And the cool thing with that is you can type in a simple prompt and you kind of get a few different styles, at least with Ideogram. Whereas with DALL-E, obviously you're limited to one image at a time. But yeah, you get four different detailed prompts, which kind of give you more variety, which is nice, I think. What do you do about the limits with DALL-E 3? Because sometimes it asks you to wait, 3 hours for the next HD. Does that like hinder you
Yeah,
in your process with Design with Detour or
I actually haven't run into that problem.
really? Oh, what's the
Yeah,
magic trick?
so like I said, I do probably 10 prompts or so. I don't use it all day every day on it, so I'm trying to get the right graphic for the day. But I think if I used it and tried to come up with multiple designs for multiple days, I might hit that limit. But currently, I'm not hitting that limit with when I'm just doing one prompt, well, one idea a day. I do multiple prompts, but one idea, and I never hit it. So.
Maybe it's got a bit looser as well. I've not used ChatGPT as much recently, so maybe it's got a bit better on that side. I'm not sure though. And I think with AI generators, some people have the consensus that they make life harder with print on demand, because now everyone
Interesting.
can kind of design stuff.
Oh, the competition.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a common assumption that people have. So, in your opinion, has it made print on demand harder for you?
For me, no.
No.
For me, it's actually made it easier. Because I used to draw all my things by hand, and I still do some of those by hand, but now that I can use AI to generate the graphics and generate ideas, honestly, because a lot of times, like, I wonder if it can do this, or I wonder if it can do this. And it can create things that I feel like nobody else has. Like, if you're using clip art from whatever site, everybody has access to those clip arts. But now, with my imagination, right, my creativity, I can create a prompt that maybe nobody else has ever thought of, that's not on clip art, that's not anywhere. And so that way I can think I can stand out and do something different. And then, they say anybody can use, it's not copyrightable, but the chances of somebody else using your design, if you're not sharing it online like I am, but the chances of somebody else picking the same design as yours is pretty rare.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think it really helps.
And I find that very interesting coming from you, because a lot of people kind of argue AI is stealing work from designers or artists who, they could do this themselves. But you are in this space one of the sort of top artists or designers who technically you could create a lot of those kawaii designs
I could.
yourself, but still AI is making your job easier. And I think that's a very interesting take and perspective to kind of realize it's not, you know, it's not like that in reality for everyone.
In fact, I don't think I could do design with Detour, with a 9 to 5, and not use AI, because I did Shirtober once, where I drew everything by hand, and it was really hard. It took a lot of time,
I bet.
and because everything was by scratch, by hand, starting from scratch with a notepad and everything, and that just took it took me a lot longer. And right now I'm trying to simplify the process to get those things out with the graphic and AI. And usually I just put in some text and a little more graphics, and boom, it's a lot faster.
Yeah, it increases your productivity, and I think that's a good thing, whether you're, you know, less skilled at art or more skilled at art.
Well, I was going to say another thing that I just thought of, why I wanted to do design with Detour with AI, is because a lot of people have, say, you've seen a lot of these videos where it's like, you can make so much money with AI, and we've done those videos, right? And I wanted to put it to a test, because I'm looking at other people and say, hey, that looks like AI. They made a lot of sales. Maybe I can use. And so I wanted to see, well, all of these designs that I've made with Design with Detour are AI. Let's see if it gets some sales, right? Kind of put it to the test and see for myself if AI is working, instead of just saying, that person made it with AI. I think I can do it too. I actually wanted to do it. So,
I'm glad you pointed that
yeah.
out, because that is one of the most interesting parts, I think, of your challenge, is that it's a bit of a case study, because all of these designs, I believe, you're uploading to multiple marketplaces and you will share the sales afterwards, or
Absolutely.
you have already been sharing the sales the month after. But the interesting thing is, you know, at the end of the year, which of these designs have sold, how much have they sold, does it work, does it make these
Exactly.
incredible numbers and like outpace everyone else, or is it just like any normal print on demand experience? So yeah, I think that's another good reason to actually follow this challenge and take a look at the results. But yeah, everything is definitely a long term thing. Like I'm
It
guessing
is.
you haven't had that many sales yet with the new designs.
Some have sold, but I'm giving it a good 3 to 6 months to see really is a pickup. Because a lot of times we do t-shirts for holidays 2 months ahead, right? Just to get the sales rolling. And I have had some sales, but I'd love to share more after 3 to 6 months to really show. Because I think a lot of people in who get onto print on demand think that I'm just going to put up some designs and it's going to sell next week, and that's not the reality, and it isn't the reality here too with these that I'm doing for design Detour, right? So
Yeah, that's true. But it's same experience for me. I rarely put up designs and they sell next week. It's just not it. If you have marketing budget, yeah, that sort of thing is more achievable.
But it
But
takes time to rank, and it takes time for people to
yeah,
find it, and so on. So,
organically, it rarely happens. It's always fun to see in the community. I don't know if people ever share this in your Facebook group, but my Discord server, occasionally someone says, "Oh, I just uploaded this yesterday and I got a sale." You know, that's sort of an exciting
Nice.
event, because it rarely happens for most of
It
us.
does. It rarely happens.
And yeah, but going back to AI, obviously we still have the challenge of increasing the quality because it's not good enough for print yet. So with all the different options out there, with Vectorizer AI going paid, what's currently your favorite method for upscaling?
So currently, I've been doing DGB.LOL. I used to use Vectorizer AI for the first month, I think January and part of February, until it became paid. And not that I don't want to pay for it. I think it's still a great value. Vectorizer AI is the best. I did a video, with all the other vectorizer apps out there, and Vectorizer AI to me was still the best one out there, so definitely worth the money. But I wanted to try something different for the challenge, and I'm using DGB.LOL and scaling it up to 6 times, and then removing the background. And it usually comes out really good. Sometimes there's some little artifacts on the edge, but what I'm doing now is I'm tracing over that edge in Affinity Designer and giving that edge a nice crisp vector line around it. And so that those edges, those artifacts on the edges are a lot crispier or hidden. So I have a crispy edge now, yeah.
Yeah, I do like DGB as well. I think the vector look, or using Vectorizer AI had its benefits because it's kind of easier to edit if you've got vector editing software. But
Absolutely,
the
yeah.
fact that DGB is free, you can use it in bulk, you can upscale six times or even eight times now.
8 times now, yeah.
It's massive, and I know some people complain about the waiting times of this Google Ads, but I mean, you have to choose what you want to do. Do you want to pay $10, $20 a month, or do you want to have a free tool that actually gives you good quality results? So I think that's a great website. And with your graphics, like, you don't notice that it's a raster, like, upscale. It still looks like a vector for sure.
Yeah, it does. And people ask me all the time, when should I do
Right.
upscale and when should I do vector?
Me
And I
too.
tell them a lot of times, if you're trying to vectorize something very detailed, I don't think the app can handle some of those details, like the gradients and there's a lot of details sometimes with these AI graphics that come out. And so for those really detailed ones, I would go to upscale it anyway, just so I can keep the integrity of the design and not lose any of that those nice graphics or those nice details. Vectorizer or vectorizing designs that are more flat, more looking like a vector art kind of thing, I think those do really well too. So it really depends what the AI is pumping out, what you get as an end result.
I get that question a lot as well, and I actually made a dedicated video about it because I think it confuses a lot of people. And I think a lot of people overthink this, where the main goal is just get better quality. Upscaling gives you better quality, and vectorizing gives you better quality. They're just both an option for it, and I think a lot of it comes down to, what does the graphic look like? Is it very detailed? In that case, like you already said, if it's very detailed, use an upscaler because vectorizers tend to destroy that detail. And on the other hand, it's just your personal preference. If you like to work with vectors, like, I use Adobe Illustrator a lot, and that's why I tend to use vectors or vectorizers in my workflow. But if you don't, if you're a Photoshop guy, Photopea, I don't know if Canva. Does Canva do vectors? I never use it, but so I don't
I
really
don't
know.
think it does use do vectors. It's all
Yeah,
PNG.
so in that case, like, an upscaler, it's probably fine for you. You don't need to use both. I think some people assume you need to use both as well. It's just one or the other. As long as you get the quality high enough to work for the t-shirt dimensions, that's the main thing that counts. Yeah. Speaking of Canva, Illustrator, another thing that I believe a lot of beginners kind of struggle with is, how do you decide which software to use once you've got a graphic, whether it is clip art or AI? Because there's so many options. There's Kittle, Canva, Illustrator, right? Affinity Designer, you've got a lot of videos about that. Photoshop, and you use a few different ones of those for Design with Detour. So how do you pick, in a sense?
How do I pick personally is I usually try and start with Affinity Designer. I want to keep it simple. I want the graphic to stand out, so I'm just using, some simple text and things around it. But when the design calls for it, Kittle really has amazing graphics and amazing typography, more importantly. And I don't have all those fonts on with me on Affinity Designer. So like for I did one for like a punk rock or a rocker kind of design. I don't have those fonts. I could buy them, but they're all on Kittle. And they have some amazing templates as well. So I kind of use those. Canva has some amazing graphics, just tons and tons of graphics. So if you're ever like, I need to put a graphic on here, but I don't know what, I don't have it, I use Canva. So it really depends what you're comfortable with and what kinds of things you're doing with it. I think if you're not comfortable designing on your own and you need some template stuff, maybe you go to Canva and Kittle. Maybe if you need more graphics and things like that or more inspiration, maybe you're Canva. Maybe you don't have a budget. Maybe the budget kind of dictates what you're gonna use. So I would say you can do a lot with free on Canva for free, right? There's tons of graphics on there if you want to just start out and don't have the budget to buy an Affinity Designer or do a subscription with Kittle. You can start off with Canva free. So I think it depends a lot on what you want as the output and your budget too. So.
What about someone who's got the budget, but they're a beginner and they don't really see themselves as a designer? Like, what's sort of the easiest tool in a sense to get started with? Because most people don't really want to buy like multiple tools and switch between them, I guess.
I would say look at Kittle, see if their designs match what you're trying to make, because they have some really cool templates. And if that's the kind of design style that you want to go through, and then I would use Kittle. Look on Canva and look at the templates. If you don't know how to design, I think templates can help a lot. So there's that. There's Vexels. We didn't mention them. They have some things that are already built out that you can use as templates as well. So many options. I would say if you're not used to creating a t-shirt, try it out and learn. But if you want to get in right away, I think templates can help you get started really quickly.
If you modify them, so
If you modify them, right, exactly. Don't just use the same template everybody else is using, because it's like, copy and paste, and everybody has the same thing out there. You don't want to do that. You want to compete, but have your thing a little bit different. So the templates, what's great about the templates on Kiddo is everything's editable, right? You can go and change the text, change what it says, change the colors, so swap out graphics. So and then that makes it a lot easier to make something original, but you didn't actually have to start from zero. Because I think a lot of people who haven't done t-shirt design before, when they start with just a white page and nothing, that kind of scares them and intimidates them. Like, I don't even know where to start, right? So the templates kind of help you with how to start. So yeah, I think there's lots of places that have templates out there. Kittle's my favorite, but that's my personal thing. But there's templates on Placeit, there's templates on Canva, there's templates on Vexel, it's everywhere. There's so many options. So.
I would also say, like, pointing at beginners or speaking to beginners, there is so many options, but just settle on one, right?
Yeah, pick one. You
You're
don't
not.
have to buy subscriptions to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, go find which one works for you and stick with that one. Yeah,
And
exactly.
it's also not like if you're going to choose Kittle, but you didn't choose Canva, you're now going to fail. There's no right or wrong in a sense. They can all get to the same end result. It's a lot of it is personal preference or what the person has been using a lot. That's why you see YouTube videos with people using different tools or different workflows. I'm just very used to Adobe Illustrator. That's what I started with, and that's why I still prefer using that at the end most of the time. But I know that Kittle has amazing templates. I just, not my personal preference.
They
So
do.
I think settle on one that seems to appeal to you, that seems to match the style that you're trying to design, and just go all in on that for a while. Don't jump in between three or four different tools, and
Correct.
kind of always follow the most recent YouTube video you've seen. That's what I would say to beginners.
And good design is just part of it, right? Like, it has to be a design that people want to wear, first of all. So it needs to look nice, but it has to kind of relate to the audience too. So if you made a great design of something that nobody cares about, that's still not going to work, right? So you have to do the research, figure out, like, people are loving this topic, this kind of thing. Find an audience, then design for that audience. If you're doing print on demand, right? Because that's kind of the secret sauce is, find something that people are wanting to buy, that there's an audience for it, and then design for that audience. Don't just create a nice design that nobody wants to buy. You need to create a nice design that people would actually want to wear and buy, and so on. So.
Yeah, I think those are the two biggest puzzle pieces of print on demand is having good design, but also design that people want to buy. So research and design quality together make up a big portion of what gets people sales. And it's natural as a beginner. You're not really sure what to do. Like, we just had a discussion in the Discord, in my Discord group, Discord server. And I don't want to like talk down on anyone because it's completely normal as a beginner. But there was a person who was creating designs, sharing them with the group for feedback. And we were kind of all wondering, who are you targeting here? Like, who are these designs for? And the person didn't know themselves. They didn't know who they're targeting. They were like a random combination of graphics that didn't really seem to make much sense, which is fine. Like, you
Yeah, I
have to
see it.
make the mistake to learn from it. We've all created rubbish designs when we started out. I did. I'm sure you maybe did. I don't know. It's hard to imagine, but yeah. So make sure to do research, find good niches, and make sure that the designs you create for those niches also resonate with the audience of that niche.
Absolutely.
That's, I think, a big part that people miss.
Mm-hmm.
To switch gears a little bit, what is the 100 design rule?
yeah, I just released a video called the 100 design rule. And this came about because people asked me, how many designs do I need to put up before I can see some sales? And I'm like, okay, well, let's just pick 100. 100 seems like a nice round number. It's a big enough number to let you know, like, print on demand is serious. You can't just put in 10 designs and sit back and get some sales. So I think the 100, I picked 100 because I wanted to let people know, like, you actually do have to put in a lot of designs. It's kind of a lot of work, this print on demand thing, right? It's not just super easy. But I also think it's a nice round number for people to get a good percentage of what kinds of designs are selling for you. Now, everybody's going to be different. Some people may sell 20% of their 100 designs. Some people may sell 40%. Some people may sell 10, but that's great. So now you kind of know, you can kind of learn what's selling best for you and do more of that. The thing about the 100 design rule is there's five different points in that video that I talked about. The first point is we need to do the research. We talked about this, that research counts. Do good research, find out if there's an audience for it. I think the second one I mentioned was, let me look at my notes here. Oh yeah, it just definitely needs to be well designed, which we talked about. Like. Mm-hmm. It needs to be something that people actually want to wear. It needs to look like a t-shirt. I think a lot of people get into the 100 designs and want to throw up all these, you know, oh, 100. I want to put 100, so I'm just going to put all these in. No, they have to be specifically researched and well-designed 100 designs to get that percentage. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to upload them all at once. I think a lot of people are like, oh, you said 100, so I'm just going to push all my 100 at one time and then sit back and wait for it to go. No, it's a process. That's why I wanted to do the design with Detour, right? We're doing a design a day, kind of get that consistency going and learn as you go. So that's kind of the fourth one is you're learning as you're going. You're not just pushing up 100. You're going to learn like, oh, I learned this new technique. I'm going to get better here and here. And the last thing is the 100 designs is just the beginning. Like if you can't handle putting up 100 designs for print on demand, then print on demand might be really difficult for you, because a lot of people who have been doing print on demand for a long time and are very successful actually have more than 100 designs. 100 designs were just kind of the test run.
I've only got 5. So that's I don't know what you're talking about. I never went past 5.
Oh boy. That would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
Just 5 designs and I'm sitting back and I'm making thousands of dollars a year.
Imagine.
Yeah, doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, it's thousands and thousands for almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And many of them have never sold. Obviously,
right.
A lot of them have. But
right. And I think that's a great thing for the 100 design rule too, is like you work so hard with the 100 designs and you notice nothing. So like, does that motivate you to do more, or is that going to make you want to quit and say, I don't like this anymore? And that's great. Either way, like, you figured out that you like it or you don't like it. And I think that's really helpful with the 100 design rule tool.
It's sort of a testing ground to see, do you like printed amount or not? Like, do you have some passion behind it, some enjoyment?
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree. Mm-hmm. If you, well, first of all, it goes back to, we need to wait a few months. Like if you put up 100 designs and you only wait a week and nothing sells, that's normal again. But
very normal.
If you've been doing it for half a year, you've put a lot of energy and effort and passion into it and nothing is sold, and then you hate it, like you have no motivation and you just develop like a bit of a hatred against this, yeah, maybe then this is not the right path for you. But if that fires you up to improve and to get better and you really enjoy the process of researching, designing, etc., then yeah, like keep going. Perfect.
Exactly.
And it's normal. Exactly. It's normal to create 100 designs as a beginner and not get a sale, even a few months later. I hear it all the time. It's because you're just at the beginning stages where you suck the most. It's like when you start a new sport, if you've never played basketball, you're not going to hit that basket. It's going to take you a long time to get consistent, or even just get one ball in, right? So
it's
all in the reps.
It is in there. That's what I was going to say. The 100 designs is about putting in the reps.
Definitely. Yeah, I like that rule. It's really good. Good for beginners to try out. And Another question that I get a lot from beginners is which products to sell? Which products should people focus on?
Yeah, that's good. For me, it was really easy. I love doing t-shirts, and I think for whatever print-on-demand site that you're going to sell on, they kind of tell you what's the best seller. Like for Amazon, and they don't really tell you, but for Amazon, I'm going to tell you, if you're on Amazon, it's probably t-shirts or hoodies. But for the other sites, you can actually go to their site and they're on their homepage, they'll actually tell you, like, we sell t-shirts, and they'll promote it, right? So on Redbubble, t-shirts, stickers, posters, something like that. TeePublic, obviously, t-shirts for TeePublics and so on. So I would go, I'm sure Etsy has the different things that they sell there. So I would go and whatever print-on-demand site, and you can do this in reverse too, right? So if you want to sell posters, then go look for the print-on-demand site that does posters the
Display.
best, or this, yeah, that kind of highlights the posters and so
And
on.
yeah, a
So
good example is Zazzle as well. They don't really push t-shirts
yeah,
much. Like they've got a completely
no,
different homepage where it's a lot about great t
yeah, like
shirts.
invitations and personalized stuff is kind of what their kind of niche is, right? Their product stuff. So if you're into that and you can make those kinds of things, I would think Zazzle would do really well for you.
So it depends. It definitely depends on the platform. But for Etsy, I would say don't just settle on one product. Just because from my personal experience, when I started selling on Etsy, I was just doing t-shirts because that's what was already working for me in Amazon. But I ended up eventually adding coffee mugs as well and
That's what I was going to say, mugs.
making most of my sales through coffee mugs, more than my t-shirts on Etsy. So,
See?
which still to this day, I'm like, why has Amazon merch still not added coffee mugs? They're such an
I
easy
don't know
gift.
why. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it would be
It makes no
amazing.
sense to me.
Maybe it's I've heard a theory on that it might be to do with the shipping hassle because coffee mugs tend to break
Oh, might break.
sometimes. It's a bit, I guess, a bit more of a package to send than an easy like t-shirt thingy. I don't know, maybe that's to do with it, but do you imagine the
Honestly, I
Amazon
don't know why
plan?
Amazon hasn't added more products, period. Whether it be mugs or stickers or
Sticker.
whatever, like they've had the same products for a long, long time. So it's they're due to have more products, I think.
At least they've added more markets for the phone
Marketplace.
cases, right?
They
So
have,
maybe
yeah.
they're trying to fill out the slots, like all products and all markets, and then expanding, hopefully.
And then
That would be nice.
can't wait to have more products. I want some high ticket ones too. Not that I don't know if those would do well, but I want to make $10, $20 per sale instead of just five. So we'll see.
Such as, like, do you have any in mind?
Blankets maybe, or and just duvet covers. I don't know, something bigger. I know that's really hard because there's a lot of home goods on Amazon, so not really sure if that would work on there, but we'll see.
I've sold a few blankets on Etsy, so yeah, it
Yeah,
would be nice.
blankets would be cool.
Or maybe something like shower curtains. I don't know, do people buy
Yeah,
that?
something bigger. Something bigger.
Yeah, would be cool to have a product where you can do like even like a $20 royalty, which
Yes.
occasionally I have managed to hit that on merch with like a zip hoodie. I just priced it excessively
Yeah.
high, but now they've kind of
Yeah.
started to cap it, haven't they? Which is annoying.
They
What
have,
do you
which
think
is
about that?
crazy, right?
What do you think about that cap? Do you think it's going to go
I wish it
away?
was, I wish the cap was a little higher, because a lot of times I put in like, what, really? That's the cap? That can't be right. The $5, $7 cap. I wish the cap was $10. If you're gonna put a cap on there, I mean, that makes sense, but like make it just a little bit better for us. But $7, I think I get on a hoodie. So that seems, I like it, but
Do you have a
could be better.
theory? Like, is this just a temporary thing? Because that's what I assumed at the start. Maybe it's like a temporary Q4 sale thing, but it's still there.
I don't know. I'm wondering if they're trying to keep all their prices around the same, and not kind of like the TeePublic where everything's the same price. I wonder if Amazon's trying to be competitive and just make sure that everything's around, like they don't see some. I wonder if they're getting comments like, this hoodie's like $50. Why? Blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I'm
That's
sure they're
fair.
testing. They're always testing. Amazon is big on testing and getting the right data. So
At the same time, they let the big brands sell their t-shirts for
I
$25,
know.
$27,
I
and
know.
I'm
That's
guessing
crazy.
people might complain about the quality then, but you never know.
Yeah. I wonder if Amazon's still keeping the same cut, or they get a better benefit to those big brands.
Oh, you
Well,
think they might
I
get
don't
higher
know.
royalties for the sales, the
I
brands?
wonder.
Probably, yeah, if they
Yeah.
negotiate a deal with it.
Yeah, because it's a deal for them to sell, you know. Those big brands know what they're doing.
True, true. What about the people that can't get into Amazon merch? Because it's obviously getting harder and harder to get an account. Like,
Yes,
where would you
yes.
sort of direct them? Which marketplace should they start with or look into?
Personally, for me, if you're designing t-shirts like me, I'm liking TeePublic right now. It did a lot better. Not it's a close it's not even a close second, but it's my second print on demand store. I'm gonna do a video really soon to kind of compare Redbubble, TeePublic, and Amazon, and you'll see like the Amazon's way up here. But I think TeePublic's a great one for t-shirts. If you're wanting to do t-shirts like I do t-shirts, it matches my audience, so kind of my style and stuff. So I would go on there again and do the research on print on demand and see which one matches your site, because you're gonna have a better chance of getting sales if you kind of understand the audience and that you can provide something good for that audience.
Yeah, I think the TeePublic style is kind of similar to Amazon merch, so that's probably
It
why
is
they're
very
drawn to
similar.
it. Yeah,
I think so.
and it's
I
worked
think
very
so
well for me
too.
as well. In terms of the smaller marketplaces, TeePublic has been one of my best performing. It's gotten
Me
slower for
too.
sure since the tier system came in. That seems to have changed the algorithm quite a bit, annoyingly. But yeah, TeePublic I think is a good beginner platform because it's easy as well. Like you can easily upload
Very
brands, you
easy.
get the keyword suggestions. The product colors, everything is very seamless, so you can focus on what's important, which is the research and creating the designs. And that's why I tend to recommend it for beginners. And it's free to open a store. It's very quick. What about Etsy? Do you sell on Etsy? Because that's obviously got a
I
lot of
don't
potential.
sell on
Why
Etsy
is that?
currently. I did sell on Etsy before, and here are the reasons why I don't do Etsy today, and I may do Etsy in the future. One, it took a lot of time, and so with my 9 to 5 and doing YouTube and everything, Etsy took a lot of time, not only for uploading, because the uploading with you have to go through Printify and then upload and then make up your own, get your own mock-ups to do that. The time it took to answer questions and emails and kind of keep on the tracking of the shipping and then returns, and it was a lot for me. And so yeah, it took a long time, and the products came in, the sales came in one at a time, right? So to the bookkeeping part of it took me a long time too. It's not like typing in this is the monthly deposit from TeePublic or for Amazon, or it was just one deposit, whereas to keep track of all the sales every day. So it was mainly time. It was mainly time for me. I'm used to a lot more passive print on demand stuff with Amazon and TeePublic. And so I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up doing Etsy and YouTube and 9 to 5 and all of that. It just was too much. But I did get a lot of sales. So and a lot of people do. It does great organic traffic. So a lot of good things too about Etsy. I'm gonna say it's not all bad, but it definitely takes a little more time than I was used to with all the other print on demand sites.
Yeah, it is more difficult than almost all the other platforms we talk about, for sure. And I mean, I feel it myself being split between YouTube, POD, and all these different things. Sometimes, I log into my Etsy shop and I've got messages from a few days ago, and I'm like, oh, oops. No, it's really annoying. And then it always takes like 10, 15 minutes to sort out a message if someone's got issues. It is a lot, and it makes more sense to really outsource that. I would say to have someone manage the messages. But yeah, there's a lot of things to Etsy that kind of make it more difficult. And that's why I tend to say to beginners, something like TeePublic is better to get used to things. It's not going to make you rich.
Start slow.
Like Etsy has the higher potential, but if you practice, kind of like on a bike with the I don't know what it's called, the extra extensions. If you're learning how to cycle,
Training wheels,
training
training wheels,
wheels, yeah, that's kind of your TeePublic. And then once you can keep your balance, then move to Etsy, and then you're going to be faster and more agile or whatever. But you actually know what to do by that point. So
Correct.
that's
Yeah.
a thing.
Just jumping into Etsy right from the get-go might be a lot
It's
for someone
overwhelming.
that hasn't done it.
There's a lot of sides to it. It's overwhelming. Setting up the shipping profiles, customer support, mock-up. You need to handle mock-ups, right? That's a topic we didn't touch on, but Amazon, TeePublic, they do the mock-ups for you. Simple. They do the pricing
Exactly.
for you as well. It's, yeah, a lot.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. That being said, there's a lot of help too, right? So there's lots of apps that can help you, like with Everbee and Hello Custom and all those apps that people talk about to kind of make your Etsy experience a lot better too, so.
That's true. It's not many apps in public, is there? Speaking of apps, have you? I think last year when we spoke, during an interview, you kind of said that you might try automation for the year, test that out.
I haven't tried it. I guess I'm scared of going. There's so much going on, and I really need to because I'm on like 12 different print-on-demand sites, and I kind of let some of those slip because I don't have automatic. You know, I'm kind of putting priority to these three up here, mainly, but you know, some of the other ones kind of get left along the side without automation. So no, I haven't tried it yet, and I really need to.
I guess soon after the interview, AI came about, and then it's like a whole other area to learn and focus on. So that.
I went in that direction instead.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, with YouTube content as well, obviously we want to make videos that people are interested in. If you make a video about upload automation, it's not going to get as much traction as a video about ideogram perhaps would. So that
Maybe,
kind
yeah.
of drives
But
me forward.
AI is pretty hot right now, so
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
probably right.
So that has something to do with it. What about scalable designs though? Because I noticed I think you made a few tutorials about creating like scaled designs.
I did make a ton of scalable designs, and I'm still trying to upload all of those. So again, automation probably would have helped. And now that I'm doing this design with Detour, you know, I kind of put some of those scale designs into my Amazon. Another goal that I have is to at least upload 100 designs on Amazon every month. And I know that's not a lot for some of us in the higher tiers, but I wanted to make sure that I'm at least, you know, putting in a thousand, 1,200, I guess, designs a year, so that it won't get me to the next tier, but it definitely would more than I did last year, I think. So I have a ton of those scale designs that I did in a folder, and every once in a while I'll upload those to it.
You
So
need
yeah,
to get into automation. Which tier are you in again
I
on
do.
merch?
100,000,
100,000. Okay.
100,000.
I've
Are
uploaded.
you higher?
No, I'm in 40,000 now. I'm trying to fill out my
40,000.
slots at the moment. So this morning, whilst I was at the gym before our interview, I've now uploaded 63 designs to Amazon, hands off. They're all
Dude,
scalable
that's how you
designs.
do it.
But
Yeah, but still,
yeah, all I
you
have to
sell
do is
too.
click upload in the morning. That's basically it.
That's so cool. Is that with my designs, or what are you
That
using?
is with Flying Upload. My designs would
Flying
be
upload.
more geared towards Etsy. They've just introduced an integration with Merch Titans. You've probably heard of Merch
Oh,
Titans.
right. Yeah, I did see that. I think I did you just do a video about that? I saw a thumbnail.
Exactly. Yeah, it was the
I've been meaning to
logo.
watch it.
So basically, if you're using my designs, you can connect it with Merch Titans and then upload to Amazon as well. That's the idea. But I tend to use Flying Upload for Amazon merch.
Flying upload. Okay. I gotta do it. I gotta do it.
If you've got the scalable designs there already,
I
it will.
do. It's just sitting in
It's
a
so much
folder.
easier to do it like automated than do it manually. So tedious. But anyway, I've got some subscriber questions as well. A
Okay,
couple of
bring
them.
it. Let's see. Surprise questions.
So the first one is, do you have some best sellers generating most of your income, or is it lots of different designs getting sales occasionally?
I think it's a little of both. I do have some best sellers, like everybody does. I don't know if they generate most of my income, but they do generate a lot.
A big chunk,
They
yeah.
get a lot more sales than everybody than a lot of the other ones, right? And then there's the middle. I think it can be broken down into kind of three slots. There's the you got your best sellers that crank out, they're consistent, they get sales every month. Then you get the middle of the road where you get some sales, but probably not every month. And And then the majority of them don't sell,
Yeah.
is the sad part. But yeah, so I do have some bestsellers. It kind of ranges. And the thing is, you never know what's going to be a bestseller. That's the trick of it. So you got to put your best work forward all the time. And some of them may, you're one design away from having a bestseller. So you never know.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's that if you stop at 100 designs, maybe number
Yeah.
101 could have been your bestseller
Could
because
be.
nobody knows when
Absolutely.
they're actually designing a bestseller. I didn't know at the time. But
Yeah,
it's
I
true.
didn't know either.
It's similar for me where obviously there is some bestsellers that are getting a lot of sales a day, but if you look at the numbers, yeah, maybe they'll make up, say, 20% of your income, 25 or something like that, like a group of bestsellers. But if you took out all of those
Absolutely.
designs that just sell occasionally, you would have a lot
Yeah.
less income. So it's
Oh,
not
yeah.
all about, being lucky and having that one bestseller.
Yeah.
That's not the case, at least from my experience. Okay, good answer.
Absolutely.
The
Absolutely.
next subscriber question I had is, do you have a specific split for evergreen and seasonal trends?
I do it when I feel like it. I definitely do both. I love to do evergreen designs because I think, you need to put that into your portfolio of designs just to make sure that you're getting consistent sales. But I do also like to do trends or holiday trends too, just so that I'm in there and kind of boost. I like to look at my year over year. So when I'm looking at my year and I see that, oh, there's a big dip in March, so maybe I need to do more St. Patrick Day design or something that would get me more sales in March. So that's kind of how I judge it. I look back a year and kind of see where are the gaps. Like Halloween's doing great for me. I'm gonna do more Halloween stuff, but where are some places that I can fill those gaps and make those months that are low kind of a little bit better. So hopefully that makes sense.
That's a good strategy. Yeah. I don't tend to design for seasonal that much. I prefer mainly going evergreen. But yeah, there is some months where I definitely dip and I could probably prop it up with seasonal stuff. In terms of the designs you've already uploaded, can you like do you have a feeling for maybe 50 evergreen, 50 seasonal, or are you like not sure? No idea.
I'm
No
not
idea.
sure. I have so many designs out there, I kind of lose track because it also there's also the scale designs, right? So that takes up a lot of them. So
Are those evergreen
I
or?
would say I'm 50. The scale designs, some are evergreen and some are seasonal.
Yeah, because you could
Yeah,
do seasonal.
sometimes I do seasonal, like St. Patrick's Day. I can do a lot of scaled St. Patrick's Day designs, for example. So, which I have. So, I would say I would probably do 50-50 split.
I think that's a good answer as well, though, because people again tend to overthink it and say, okay, it needs to be 70-30 split for me to be successful. I don't count either, like how much
I
evergreen of
don't,
what. It's just, yeah, I prefer evergreen most of the time. And you just do it how you
Yeah.
feel.
It's tougher. Tougher, I would say. I think doing a seasonal design, a trending seasonal design, is a lot tougher. And I think people are scared to go into it because it's a lot more saturated. I think that's, why people are at first. But if you kind of niche down and do something different than nobody else has done, I think there's still opportunity there. And I think the evergreen, what people have talked about is it's a lot easier to find an evergreen that nobody else even thought about, And so there's a lot of opportunity there too. But I would say don't be scared of the seasonal ones. Be scared if you're gonna just copy and paste, because that's not a great strategy, right? You don't wanna just like, oh, this Easter design is doing well for this person. I'm just gonna copy the same thing and put it on there. And that's not a great strategy. But if you can think of something really good that nobody else has done that you think can provide value to that seasonal thing, then yeah, do that.
One thing I'd like to point out though is that for us, I guess it's kind of different because we already have a consistent stream of sales coming in. So if we spend some time working on St. Patrick's Day, that will bump up our sales in that month. Whereas I think personally for beginners, if you're chasing the St. Patrick's Day trend and then maybe you get
It's
one or
gonna be
two
hard.
sales and then after St. Patrick's Day you go back to zero, I think that's tough. So
That is tough. That's tough.
whilst evergreen, it takes more patience to finally get some sales rolling. Whilst it definitely takes more patience, I think it is better overall for your sanity, because
In the long run.
at the beginning you're just going to be chasing trends, even if they're seasonal. And if you don't get a sale at all for St. Patrick's Day, then it's like, okay, all of these 30 designs that I've
What
created,
did I just do?
they're pointless now. Like, I have to wait for the next year. Obviously, with Amazon merch, if you're in tier 10, it's a different story, I would
That's
say.
what I was going to say, yeah, because you want to
Completely
get those quick
different.
sales so that you can rank up, yeah.
Yeah, because it's so limited. Yes, trends make sense there. But if you don't have a limit, like Etsy, TeePublic, I wouldn't just go all in on seasonal trends. It's probably not a good idea as a beginner, in my opinion, at least. Yeah.
Makes sense. Makes sense for me.
Okay, Juno, thanks a lot for your time. A lot of
That's
golden
it?
nuggets.
Those are all the questions?
Yeah, there's only two from
Oh,
subscribers. Maybe I missed some, I don't know.
wow.
But yeah, thanks a lot for your insight. A lot of golden nuggets in this. I'll timestamp it as well so people can find the different topics. And
Nice.
I will obviously leave you links in the description, but do you just want to give people an overview of where they can find you and connect with you?
People can find me on YouTube. You can find me on YouTube. There's links there. I have a Facebook group. Twitter. I'm kind of active on Twitter and Instagram. I've been posting most of my Design with Detour designs on there, so you can see, check it out, follow along. There's this hashtag Design with Detour as well, so you can see what other people are doing. So it's a fun time. Yeah, all over.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for your time, and
Of
we'll speak
course.
later.
All right. See you, Philip.